welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And yes, folks, today is the day. It is the National Day of Prayer, but if you're looking for me tonight at festivities, I won't be there because it is also a very significant someone's birthday in my life, and I will be celebrating with her. And so if you want to know what has impacted me in my life more than any other person, it is the person whose birthday it is today, and I love her to pieces. So happy birthday, and we look forward to celebrating wherever she wants to go and eat tonight. Now that we're empty nesters, that decision is a whole lot easier to make. So, in fact, I think I might have an idea. So today we're going to turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and man, I have just loved this passage, and just continue to meditate on it, feast on it, and we're looking at some of the practical steps that we can take, because the reality is God loves justice. God loves justice. So that's what we're talking about. So let me read Psalm 37 verses 1 through 8, and then we will pick up where we left off on yesterday's program. Psalm 37 verse number 1, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." And so we're going to pick up on verse number 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." So that word good, according to the Greek lexicon, means to do what is pleasing, what is delightful, and what is pure. So we trust in the Lord, and because we trust in him, we are empowered by him to do what is pleasing in his sight, not necessarily what is pleasing in other people's sight. I have things that in my life that are preferences. Okay, you've got things in your life that are preferences. And then there are things that are absolute. There are things that we have strong convictions about. And when it comes to the things that are pleasing, you've got to realize that there are going to be different things that please different people. For instance, I've got a child, and she loves, all my kids are adults now, but she loves, I believe it is anise flavored cookies. And I think my wife likes them too. I don't like them. I don't like the smell of them. I don't like licorice. It's just not pleasing. There was a, okay. There was a time, this was a long time ago, in a much younger body, where I was outside working on an automobile that we owned. It was a 1968 Mustang, and it was a holy vehicle. It had rust holes all in it. And so I was trying to work on the body, and my wife was inside, and she opened the door to the kitchen, which was right where I was working. And I said, "What in the world is that smell?" And she was cooking curry chicken, and she finds curry chicken extremely pleasant. I don't. We're just talking about little bitty things here, but when we're talking about things that are on a spiritual level, you've got to realize that there is a world that is diametrically opposed to the things that please God. Those things that are good, that world calls evil, and the things that God says are evil, that world calls good. And so at some point in time, we have to decide, make a decision, and trust in the Lord and do what is pleasing in His sight, even if it happens to be displeasing in another person's sight. It is delightful. It is pure. We talked about dwelling in the land. That means to settle down or to deposit yourself, to plant yourself and say, "God, this is where you have placed me, and this is where I am going to feed on your faithfulness." Okay? Another definition there is, "This is where I am going to take pleasure in your faithfulness." And I know that there are a lot of people, and they hop all over the place. I mean, they're here, then they're there, they're into this, then they're into this over thing, this other thing over here, and you never know exactly where you're going to find them. I'm not talking about not growing socially or not growing as far as your skill set or anything like that. All of us are supposed to be improving ourselves. But sooner or later, we've got to realize the blessing that comes from being planted where God wants us to be planted. This, again, goes back a long, long time ago, decades ago. There was a person that came, and they wanted to plant a plant in the front of the church. And I said, "Okay." So they planted it. And I came back a few days later, and it was not where it was. It was someplace else. And I came back a few days later, and it wasn't where it was the second time. It was someplace else. And the next time I came and looked at it, it was gone because it had died. It had never been given a chance to acclimate to the place that it was planted. And so it was never able to tap into the nourishment that the soil had to give there. It was constantly in shock trying to recover. Some of you may have had some traumatic things that have happened in your life, and like being transplanted, you kind of go into a shock like mode. But I want you to realize that you have a God who is faithful. He is the God of the mountain. He is the God of the valley. He is the God of the plateau. He is God in summer. He is God in spring. He is God in fall. He is God in winter. Wherever you find yourself, whatever season you find yourself in, God is faithful. And if you will search, you will find that He can be seen as faithful. And so that word faithfulness means it's His steadfastness, that he is a constant. So a couple of weeks ago, I was getting ready. I was in that limbo stage. It was about an hour before I needed to return to church because we were having prayer meeting on that Sunday night. And I opened my email, and I got an email from a person that is a dear brother in Christ and has been serving at another church for quite some time. And he made a reference. He said, "I just want to thank you for a message that you did on, or a series of messages you did on Wednesday night several years ago. And it talked about two particular verses. He said you spent several weeks on it, and he said, I was in need of making a decision, and God used those two verses that you taught on. It's probably 20 years ago now. He said God used those verses to give me the faith to make the decision that I needed to make. Now, the faith, maybe that wasn't the word. I don't have my phone here with me that I could look it up, but it gave him what he needed to be able to make the decision about the faithfulness of God. The verse says this: to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. That was what the verse was. And I replied, and I said, there are a lot of times that I share things that I may not remember. They don't have an enduring impact. I said, but those two verses have been a frequent companion through the years. You will find that God is faithful. And so I want to encourage you to feed on his faithfulness. Feed on his faithfulness. Verse number 4 says this: delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. This is probably one of the most frequently quoted verses in Christianity today, because it appeals to a very favorable outcome, where it says, he shall give you the desires of your heart. But we have to look at the prerequisites. We have to trust in the Lord. We have to do good. We have to dwell in the land. We have to feed on his faithfulness. And then at that point in time, we can delight ourselves in the Lord. It means to be pliable. That word also has a meaning of to behave in a loving manner. What kind of relationship do you have with God? I'm not talking just about, you know, are you saved or are you not saved? I'm not talking about are you trusting him or not trusting him. I'm really wanting to know, what kind of relationship dynamic do you have? You know, there are parts of my life where I view God as the commander in chief. In fact, there's a passage in a little bit later on here in Psalm 37 where we will talk about that, where he is the one who gives the orders and I'm the one that follows the orders. That is part of my relational dynamic. But my favorite title for God, for Jesus, is this: he is the lover of my soul. He is the lover of my soul. And because I recognize that he loves me and cares for me, and I love him and want to honor him and want to do what is pleasing and acceptable in his sight, and I want to be faithful to what he's called me to do, I can honestly say that it is a privilege to delight myself in the Lord, to be pliable in his hands instead of rigid. You know, a week from today, it will not be my wife's birthday. It will be my birthday. And I keep having more numbers, more candles that show up on the birthday cake. And my body doesn't want to respond with the same sort of flexibility and pliability as before. But my spirit should never become rigid. My spirit should never manifest a hard-heartedness or a stiff neck personality, especially when it comes to God. Today I want you to know I'm not a pastor because I have to be. I'm a pastor because it's a pleasure to serve the lover of my soul. It's great to remain in a relationship with God where you discover that his tender mercies are brand new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. That is the prerequisite from part A of verse 4 that sets us up for the benefit of verse 4 in part B, where it says, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And so it is interpreted many times that, well, whatever, because God loves me, whatever I want, God's going to give it to me. That's not necessarily what this verse is saying. It means that because we've trusted in him, we are doing what is pleasant and delightful and pure in his sight. We're dwelling where he's planted us. We're feeding on his faithfulness, and we are in a loving relationship, and we are sensitive to the leading of God in our relationship. It says that he is going to give our heart the desires that he wants for us. Now, that's really the thing, you know, because my life before Christ, it was the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life that caused desires to take up residence in my heart and in your heart. But since coming to Jesus and asking him to forgive us of our sins and be the Lord of our lives, he says, okay, but the desires are not going to be the same going forward. The desires are going to be what is pleasing and acceptable in God's sight. What is delightful? What is it that God wants? And so he gives you the desires. What is it that you desire right now? You know, I every year at Christmas time and, you know, at birthdays, they say, well, what do you want for your birthday? And all of that sort of stuff. And most of the time there's things, you know, out of all of the birthdays that I've had, I remember the two gifts that I got when I turned 13. I remember that I got a Bible from my grandparents. I wanted a Bible and they got me a Bible. Wasn't the first Bible I'd ever owned, and it didn't stay in great condition for very long because the first Sunday after that, I went to church and was on my way to the car, and the Bible fell out of my hands. I was carrying a bunch of stuff. The Bible fell out and got soaked, and I've still got the Bible, but it's pages have fallen out and sections of books have fallen out and all that. I remember that. I also remember getting a putter, and that putter stayed in my golf bag for a long, long time. I used it for decades. I remember getting a car when I was 16, but the car was interesting because back in those days, Charlie's Angels was one of the television program, and Farrah Fawcett's character, whatever her name was, I don't remember, but she drove this Mustang, this white Mustang with blue stripes on it, I believe. And a friend of mine had one, and I was like, man, that's a really nice car. Now, I have never had a new car. I've got probably the newest car I've ever driven at this point in time in my life that somebody gave me several years ago, a couple of years ago. And it's a blessing, but my dad had this car that he was driving at the time, and it was a Corvair convertible. Now, if you talk to Ralph Nader, you know, that was a car that made him a lot of money because of class action lawsuits and all of that sort of stuff. It was a cool car. It was a rear engined vehicle that was air cooled, very much like a Volkswagen Beetle. And so when I got up the morning of my 16th birthday, I was presented with the car. They had a ribbon or something on it. And my dad said, you know, we almost didn't give this to you because you kept talking about the other car so much that we didn't know if you wanted this car. And you know what? I'd love to have that car back. I'd love to have the car that I drove after that, which was a Olds 442 convertible. I'd love to have that one back. You know, what happened was the desires of things that I saw with my eyes that I would not have liked the car payment for almost cost me the blessing that my mother and father wanted to bestow on my life. Carnal desires will deprive us of the blessings, the desires that God wants to birth into our heart. And He is our Heavenly Father. His ways are the best ways. His ways are the highest ways. And so I want to encourage you to delight yourself in the Lord. Stay pliable in the hands of God. Behave in a loving manner towards God so that He can plant the desires or the requests or the petitions down inside of you that He will give you. He will give you those desires, and then He will fulfill those desires. So that's really the secret to that passage. Now, drop down to verse number 5. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So that's really going to be some of the new ground that we cover today. And commit means to be great in rank. I told you earlier we were going to talk more about that commander-in-chief mindset. There are a lot of people who think of heaven kind of like we think of the government in the Western world, in that it's a democracy. It's not a democracy. It's God's kingdom. It's a theocracy. I'm not saying America is a theocracy. We're far from that. What I'm saying is God's kingdom is a theocracy. And so if we will commit our way to the Lord as He is the commander in chief, and there is no one that is going to outrank Him, there is no one that is going to overturn His ruling on appeal, because He is the highest of the authorities in all of the universe. He has the ability to overturn others' decisions, but they do not have the power to overrule His. So God is Lord over creation. There is only one entity in all of creation that has been created with the capability of resisting the will of God, and that is human beings. And so for us, it is a matter of choice. Okay? Now, we do not recognize what it would have been like had there not been the fall of Adam in the garden. We are not privileged to have that sort of perspective. I can tell you we live in a fallen world, and in a fallen world, bad things happen. But what I can tell you is that ever since God created man, He created us with a will where we will either decide to trust in the Lord or not trust in the Lord. We will make a decision to live the way He wants us to, or to not live that way. We can either feed on His faithfulness, or we can try and fend for ourselves. We can either delight ourselves in God, or we can delight ourselves in the ways of the world. We can commit our way to God, or we can try and forge our own way. You know, the world wants to celebrate, you know, the Frank Sinatra type theme, and I'm not saying anything about him as a singer or a person or anything like that. What I'm just saying is he sang a song, "I Did It My Way." I did it my way. I love how society tries to get everybody to live in rebellion to a certain lifestyle, and what ends up happening is everybody ends up conforming to a different style than what the previous generation had. I asked some people one time, I said, so please explain to me the point of this type of behavior. And they said, the point of this type of behavior is to cause people of your generation to ask, what's the point of this type of behavior? That was the answer. That was the answer. And everybody was going out and doing it because they thought that that made them stand out. It was their mark of distinction. It was their way of saying, look at me, look at me. I'm doing it my way. I'm doing it my way. Well, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, and some of the choices society makes as far as hairstyles and all of that, some of that doesn't amount to much. You know, you'll learn to live with regret with your hairstyle choices when you were young, the same way that I live with regret for my hairstyle choice when I was young. But some of the hairstyles right now are making mine look not bad compared to back in the day. Just joking, kind of. Commit your way to the Lord. I pray that your spiritual life will get promoted this week. I remember my son getting promoted. The day he got promoted was one of the most difficult days of his service. And he didn't know what was going on. He was very agitated that day because he's like, this is not what is supposed to be happening. What he didn't realize was that at the end of the day, he was getting promoted. Commit your way to God. Trust him. That's what it says. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. When you don't understand, trust God. When you don't know which is the way, trust him, and he will tell you this is the way. Walk ye in it. And, you know, what you are going to find is when you give your spiritual life, your spiritual journey, when you commit that to God and give it a promotion, now your spiritual development is more important than other areas of your life. I tell you what, you're getting ready to experience the blessing of God like you've never experienced it before. So I pray that you have a great day. To the love of my life, I love you. I wish you a happy birthday, and I look forward to sharing a meal with you this evening, wherever you choose. God bless you all. You have a great day. We will catch you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Never fading, let mercy.